You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
An Odyssey Sports Station. Now, 92.9 FM ESPN presents Memphis's biggest columnist.
You ain't got to do nothing, homeboy. You ain't writing nothing. No, you ain't writing nothing. I ain't letting him write. He ain't getting no interviews.
It's the award-winning Jeff Calkins from the Daily Memphian and the Jeff Calkins Show.
I'm not going to get no interviews. I know. I'm good.
On 92.9 FM ESPN.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is something they call a groundbreaker. So let me first apologize to the shirts and the ties for your makeup. Cause I make you ugly as soon as it drops, we're on a rampage. Bubbles popping up before you know it. There's rubble and dust, cause we'll be pushing it up. Somebody say you better run. Yeah, rock with the
good morning, everybody. It is Friday, and a mess of a Friday it is. If you are hearing us, I guess that's a good sign, Jeffrey, right? I mean, it means we are on the air.
So, to the best of my understanding, our only issue was they played national commercials rather than local.
Otherwise,
commercials.
Otherwise, we seem okay.
Otherwise, our computers, like the, you obviously on your laptop, but like our computers are working, knock on wood.
Well, there you go. So you may have discovered that there is something wrong with the world right now.
Hopefully nobody was flying.
And
sounds like the airlines was terrible.
Hopefully none of you were planning on flying today. But it's kind of amazing the breadth of what has gone wrong because of a single flawed update in a program from a cybersecurity firm called CrowdStrike. And because of this upgrade that dropped overnight from CrowdStrike, everything has gone haywire. And it's incredible. At one point, Delta American United flights completely canceled. Right now, if you are flying...
Wait, what was that airline one more time?
All three.
Oh, all
like,
three. Okay.
All three. Delta, United,
I thought you combined it.
All three had shut down. Right now, in the Netherlands, in I think it's in Amsterdam. No flights allowed into Amsterdam right now.
It's a shame because that's an underrated airport.
McDonald's in Japan shut down, is not operating. A television station's in France off the air. It's across the world in businesses big and small have been utterly hamstrung by this disastrous computer update. I was wondering, Jeffrey, if you are CrowdStrike employee who like hit the wrong keystroke, right? And I don't know if it'll be pinned on Frank in the end. You know, if Frank over here from CrowdStrike is the reason this has happened. But I was trying to think, which fits? Like, want to get away? Which of the ads? Like,
well, the problem is the airline.
Southwest, yeah. Right? Want to get away? You want that one, or you want to have should have had a Snickers, or should have stayed at a Federal Express last night? Like, which fits more for Frank from CrowdStrike?
I think it's want to get away.
I think it's want to get away, and the profound sad irony is Frank can't get away.
No. Well, I mean, it doesn't sound like Southwest, who's had their own computer issues historically. It doesn't seem like they've had an issue yet, so maybe he can get away.
Fishman asked me to do this, and so I will put out this request. I think he wanted a sense of the breadth of this. So, out there in the world, if you have been impacted by this computer fiasco, tell us how. I'm just like... 445-0929, 445-0929, at work, tell us how you have been impacted by this, because what we're seeing here is, I mean, it's certainly a lesson, right, Jeffrey? It is a lesson. There was nothing malicious in this.
What's the lesson? Like, don't have a computer?
Well, that's the problem.
Should have got a Mac?
This wasn't malicious. This was just, oops. And so... And if that's what a mistake can cause in the world, all across businesses, again, the phone number is 445-0929. I'd be anxious to hear, but maybe people may just go on about their merry way. Maybe they haven't been affected. But if one little blunder or whatever it was can cause this degree of mayhem, what can China do?
China.
When it wants to cause mayhem, right? And so... Of course, the lesson is that it's incredibly perilous to be this interconnected, right? And our phones may not be working. It's incredibly perilous to be this.
Our phones are internet phones.
To be this interconnected. But like anyone's, like, we're not going to stop, right? We're not going to stop doing it.
Yeah, I mean, we're not going back to pencil and paper.
No, but we're also not. Everyone isn't going to design their own little systems. We're all going to be linked however we are all linked. Evidently. According to the story in the Times, a big part of the problem lies with the current suggested solution. So what happens is they send out an update. Here's how you fix this. Okay? And how you fix it is to reboot.
Unplug it and replug it?
Curse a little bit, right? Is to reboot each computer manually into safe mode, delete a specific file, and then restart the computer normally. Okay? The problem is that if you are... American Airlines.
Correct.
You have 10,000 computers. Each one has to be, and so now they're like training staffers who, whatever, are working in custodial services.
Well, on top, not only do you have to reset, most of the people that would be resetting the computers are probably dealing with customers at the same time. Like
yeah. Well, so it's absolutely a disaster because you can't scale up to reboot 10,000. You each one of these computers you have to do manually, and so it's taking people a long time to get online. But just for my little example, I mean, the Daily Memphian was down for hours last night. It's up and running. You can read the Daily Memphian. But then this is a small thing. I decided this morning I'd been a sloth recently. I said, you know what? I should get up and I should go to. I should go to yoga this morning at 5:50 a.m.
Proud of you.
How about that? Applause. Round of applause. 5 o'clock. I set my alarm for 5 o'clock. I got up. And then you go, Sanya Yoga, right over there next to the Brooklyn Bridge restaurant. And and their computers are down. You have to sign in manually. You write your little name on a piece of paper to whatever else.
But so you still have class?
Yeah, we still did a class. You can do yoga without a computer, turns out. But you, it's in kind of amazing that it can both tie up airlines across the world, television stations across the world, and your local little yoga studio. I mean, that's what we're dealing with. Has it impacted you in any way? You came in here.
Knock on wood, nothing.
Brad said we got an email about
rebooting. We got an email. Not only did it tell us to reboot it, it told us to like reboot it five times.
Five times?
Yes.
So did you reboot it five times?
I'm not. I came in here and logged on and have had no issues. I have not myself done anything. I'm not a troubleshooter, if you will.
Well, it's been a disaster across the world, and so I hope whatever you're doing, you know, I don't know, like let's say you run an operating room, right? And the computers are down, and you've got surgery scheduled or whatever. Like,
I mean, it seems like any type of scheduling thing.
Any kind of thing scheduling on a computer would seem to be a complete disaster. So we do hope that you are making your way through this disastrous
Friday. Is this going to bring back the...
it's a nice day outside, though.
Is this going to bring back, like, Franklin Covey, the planners?
Frank, I have moved, shockingly, to a digital calendar.
I'm proud of you. Big Jeff still handwrites this.
I have moved to a digital calendar. I don't have... And when people send me invitations on the Google whatever and scheduling, that completely screws me up. I don't know how that works. I don't have that calendar. It's that calendar. It's not my calendar. So it irritates me. But anyway, there we go. Today on the radio show, listen, it's just you and me and the people and Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock.
Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. We have the benefit of Chris Harrington. We did not have much of Chris Harrington yesterday. Maybe it was foreshadowing. We were at least anticipating maybe the issues that were to come. We had issues with Chris yesterday, so we're going to hope we get Chris today. Otherwise, it's us, ladies and gentlemen. It is us. I will tell you this, though. I believe you, and I'm crossing into your area of expertise, predictions, gambling, that sort of thing.
I mean, you did give us a bloodbath guarantee.
But I gave you a 5-star Bears of Summer. Block of the year yesterday that Zach Edey would play. And sure enough, Zach Edey did briefly play.
And that's it, right?
And now we seem to be done.
Oh, yeah.
And now we're done. And so summer's over. The good news is that all we had was this weekend left anyway.
Correct.
So Zach Edey, of course, and I'm sure you all know this, unless you've been burrowed into a wherever. Zach Edey played, came out yesterday, and played. He scored 6 points. He had 3 rebounds, and then he stepped on a foot. This was his right foot. The last one was his left foot. So he's nicely balanced. And that was it for Zach Edey. He did walk to the locker room unassisted, slight limp, according to those in attendance. And so that was it for Zach Edey. The Bears win. Bears of Summer win anyway. They continue to roll 88-77 over the Pelicans, led by, how about Gigi and Pippen playing back-to-back? I was a little surprised by Gigi playing back-to-back. Maybe not as much Pippen, because I knew Edey was going to play, and I thought you'd want him to play with a point guard, whatever else. But Gigi, how about this? 17 points, didn't shoot well, 4-14. 7 rebounds, and ladies and gentlemen, breaking news, 6 assists. Yep. 6 assists for Gigi.
I wasn't as surprised to see them play. Honestly, I was a little more surprised to see Laravia back.
Briefly, again. Yeah. He played about 8 minutes, and then he came into the game with knee soreness,
and then
he left the game with knee soreness, and that's fine. He did what he needed to do. Cam Spencer still out. Jalen Wells played well, 15 points. He had three threes, I think. And so there you go. Scottie Pippen continues to be tremendous. 17 points, 6 rebounds, 11 assists, 3 steals, as he tries to establish that he is, in fact, the best defender in summer league.
Mm.
You got to plant your flag somewhere.
That's true.
That's what you plant your flag.
Yes, of course.
Best defender in summer league. We're allowed 10 fouls. But still, nice performance by Scottie Pippen Jr. I guess the question for me, and by the way, they'll now advance. They'll play over the weekend in the semifinals tomorrow. Opponent yet to be determined.
Yes. Yeah, so there's still games to be played.
There's still games to be played.
As of right now, I believe they would be the one seed.
You still got the Spurs, the Warriors, and the Heat to play games today, and so we will figure it out. Honestly, without Edie,
yeah.
And you got to figure it out. I can see a LaRavia again either, right?
It's just like without Edie, I'm just not.
Here's the question that I have.
All right.
A lot of people are freaking out about the ED injuries and the ED. I get so weary of the conspiracy theorists around Memphis Grizzlies basketball. I didn't think they were hiding anything. I didn't think they were lying to us. I didn't think they whatever they said he wasn't shut down. Guess what? He wasn't. We saw him again. They actually were completely. They're like, he's going to play again. He's not shut down. And sure enough, he did. There was no conspiracy, no anything. It was just once they were comfortable that he was 100%, then he played again. And then he got hurt again. And so there you go. How they handled it is of just no concern to me at all. Some of you may be all wrapped up into PTSD about past things. I am not when it comes to the way information was conveyed about Zach Edey. And I also didn't need him to be shut down. There are those, and I did. John Martin is one of them who has been arguing that he should have been shut down. And so then,
John said after the first game.
After the first game. So then, when he got hurt yesterday, I did call John and I said, "Do you feel vindicated? Like, does this vindicate your position?" Because I would hear that argument. Listen, I'm the one who said he's going to be playing anyway. John's been saying, "Listen, he might be playing, but he's not going to be playing." And with that level of intensity, and so there's a greater chance for injury, and so whatever. I still don't think he should have been shut down. To me, the larger question that this raises is this. The Grizzlies had two real questions coming into the offseason, right? The lesser one was shooting.
Yeah. I mean, although I will say this, I know DeMichael's big on this. He believes organizationally that they would say shooting was an equal concern to the...
Okay, whatever. They did nothing to address it.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, like, it's interesting. If you went into the offseason, I mean, Cam Spencer is not addressing... Cam Spencer and Jalen Wells not addressing your shooting this year. Can we agree?
I believe so, yes.
So...
It seems highly unlikely. Well, yeah. And to your point, it's probably not a playoff solution.
Right. So they did nothing to address shooting. I honestly think, that, given the way their roster is constructed, here's how you address shooting. Jaren Jackson Jr. become the shooter that he was earlier in his career.
I guess if you wanted to stay healthy,
Luke Kennard, re-signed.
If you wanted to go Stretch Armstrong, you could say, well, they addressed their shooting by the emphasis on player development from the coaching staff, the changes, and so maybe they're thinking we internally get better at shooting.
But those aren't really shooting coaches.
No, I mean, I'm like I said, you had to go Stretch Armstrong.
And so, again, this is just if you're to me, if you want to be cock an eye and say, maybe this wasn't such a great offseason. They did nothing to address shooting.
I guess you could also say they would believe that they're going to get better shots with Ja on the floor. You get open and you're not asking everybody to carry quite the load.
And then the second and the biggest concern was get a center.
Yes.
Solve the center issue, right? Solve the center issue. And they answered it with one dude, Zach Edey. And it's not that I don't believe in Zach Edey. It's not that I'm a hater on Zach Edey like some were nationally. I endorsed the pick before it was made. Mm-hmm. You and I were both Zach Edey stands, mm-hmm. right? Before it was made. So I like the pick of Zach Edey. I have great confidence in Zach Edey. Thought he briefly looked good, although honestly, Missy like gave him some troubles with his athleticism. Like you know,
you could see why there was some criticism.
Exactly right. You could see there will be challenges. You could see the limitation. My bigger question is it enough to get one rookie at nine and say, yeah, we solved the issue? You know, and you see right now he sprains an ankle, which is not some cataclysmic injury or anything. And then all of a sudden, you don't have a true center on the roster.
I mean,
you got Jaren, who's not a five, really. He doesn't rebound like five and whatever else. And you got Brandon Clark, who's certainly not your classic five. And then you got Trey Jemison, who's
Glenn Santi, yeah. But I mean, Santi goes to your point.
You didn't get a center. I'm just asking the question, was it enough to say, okay, here are these two big needs. We're gonna improve our shooting by shoot better, guys. And we're going and 3 years from now, Cam, 2 years from now, Cam Spencer might be able to hit some shots. And we're gonna improve and we're gonna fill the center void by taking a guy who we like, but a lot of people think is a reach, and that's it. And if he doesn't work out or he gets hurt, we'll just figure something out.
I mean, was it enough? I mean, you can make the argument every team sits there and goes, well, we could have done more. So was it enough? No, but I think you have to look at it from the perspective of, like, what was realistic? I mean, you didn't really have...
You can only do what you can do.
You didn't have cap space. There really weren't deals to be made. It's not like we've been seeing a lot of, like, centers on the move and... You know, everybody could use some more shooting.
Do you get the sense that they were, like my beloved Buffalo Sabres, God bless them. I happen to follow probably the worst franchise in all of sports right now. I think it's 13 years without playoffs, and half the teams in the NHL make playoffs. And this is a summer that they were like, had to do something. And the GM would say, Kevin Adams, he'd say, you know, I tried. You know, we're on a lot of teams, no trade lists, whatever else. But you got the sense.
How do you get on the no-fly list?
That they were desperately trying to do things. I don't actually get the sense that the Grizzlies were desperately trying to figure out more issues for the center or more shooting answers and failed. I think they were like, okay, here's what we're going to do. And they did it.
Well, I mean, to me, it's like on the center market, like no one really came available. And so, like,
oh, I mean, I'm talking about getting an Andre Drummond type of character, you know, on the fringes, a veteran big. Now, maybe Trey Jemison is enough for you. I don't know. I'm just saying. I think that is the, and I am not deeply critical at all of
what
they did.
I just
this
think on. They're very limited by their financial reality. I mean, to me, like, the only way you were going to really do something
like that...
Okay,
let's put it this way.
You had to...
It is a clear vulnerability of this team.
Oh, yeah.
You're grumpy about the power ratings going forward because, look where they have them. They have them at wherever. Maybe it's important to at least acknowledge that the shooting is still... It is not a good shooting team. The players who will be relied on, it is not a good shooting team, which particularly could raise its head in the playoffs, right?
It always does.
And that they are really counting on at center. They got one answer, and that answer is an unproven answer.
Yes.
You know.
He is a flawed player. It's not like he's a perfect.
Again. Grizzlies could not have gotten Isaiah Hartenstein, so I'm not. But like they had a hole to fill. They have very different finances, so they could do something different. And they have an answer who's a proven answer, right? Mm-hmm. We've seen him in the league. We know what he can do. And the Grizzlies have an unproven answer, and now he's gotten injured twice. And I don't know that. I don't think that dooms him to future injuries. I'm not saying that at all. I don't believe that. I'm not alarmist about the music.
He has not been an injury-prone player.
He is not historically injury-prone. He's historically an Iron Man.
Very durable.
So I'm not particularly worried about it, but I do think, to me, that's the only question. Again, I'm not in the slightest bit critical about how they handled him or anything. It just has raised and pointed out to me that there's some you know, there's some real vulnerabilities here. So there you go. Grizzlies will play again tomorrow and then perhaps Sunday, and that will be a wrap. Luke Kennard, I guess, will sign sometime, right?
I keep being told that.
What's happening in the open, Jeffrey? What is happening in the open?
Jeff, right now, Sugar Shane Lowry leads the way. He fires another under par round. He fires two under 69. Nice. He is at seven under. He leads Da Vinci Code author Dan Brown by two shots. He's at five under. And then a host of players, including Scottie Scheffler, at two under.
Is it nicer over there?
No, it looks awesome. Carnage. Winds up. Like, it's amazing. And these guys are just freaking out. It's awesome.
So there you go. There is your open update. Yeah, we do have phone problems, by the way. That explains that. We're going to take a break, and we're going to come back. We're going to play Believe It or Not. We got Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. A lot of other things to get into on this Friday. Before then, I will remind you, the semi-annual sale, the summer sale, is well underway at Oak Hall. Listen, I like Oak Hall. I love Oak Hall at any point. It is a place that brings joy to my heart whenever I step in the store. And I can't tell you exactly if it's because the clothes are so beautiful or the people are so helpful. But I like it anytime. But you go in the spring or summer sale and you see servings throughout the store, 30, 50, up to 70% off. I like it that much more. It's Friday. It's a beautiful day. This day or this weekend would be the time to take full advantage of the summer sale in full swing at Oak Hall. Back in a moment, Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. Hi, right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show on a Friday, a mess of a Friday out there. Hope you're surviving. Evidently, we can dial out, but we can't dial. You can't.
That's
dial
my understanding
in.
Right now.
So we couldn't talk to you about the problems you're having with your computers. But we hopefully can get Chris Harrington. We are hopeful we can get Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. We're lucky to have this gig over here, Jeffrey. And I refer you just very quickly to a couple of messages I've gotten recently. One, we heard from Betsy Moore. Betsy Moore wrote us earlier this week. Hi, Jeff. I'm a longtime listener, and I successfully defended my PhD dissertation today after a very long journey. You, Jeffrey Fishman, and Chris Harrington have been my writing soundtrack for years. Thanks for keeping me going. That's pretty great, isn't it?
She also went to one of Sarita's trivia events, and listening got her a question.
Yeah. Well, I don't know that I could write a dissertation. It's about, I asked her, it's about asthma. And let's see, the dissertation was improving asthma outcomes in children and adolescents. That was the topic. I don't know that I could have written while I'm listening to me prattle on about this and that, or you, or Fishman, mm-hmm. or even Chris Harrington. Although Chris Harrington is sufficiently erudite that he might, you know, lift the level of
for sure.
writing and whatever. But nice to have had that, and nice for her to reach out and tell us that. And then today I got an email from a guy named Shimon Reeves, and he is an educator now. And he sent me a column that I wrote about him in 2001.
Good Lord, 23 years ago?
He says he brings it with him and shows it to people as inspiration everywhere he goes. Every new job, every... And the column is about... So he played basketball at Christian Brothers. And
CBHS or CBU?
At CBU.
Okay.
He went to CBU on a basketball scholarship. And his mother... senior year was diagnosed with cancer. And so he was trying to focus on his academics and whatever. His mom was sick. His mom got sicker. And then people began to realize that it appeared that she was hanging on to see him graduate, right? But a week before or so graduation, it became very clear that she was not going to make it to the graduation. And so he happened to run into the president of CBU, and who happened to ask how your mother's doing, and he told her. He told the guy. And the guy said, well, why don't we, I think we can do something about that. So they had a graduation ceremony for Boo Shimon Reeves in the hospital. They lowered her morphine so she could be a part of it. She came to life, and literally that night, I think it was, she died. Well, she died on Mother's Day, and then and so at the funeral, what did he do? He made a copy of his diploma and he put it in the casket because she wanted to see him graduate, and sure enough, he did, and it underlines to him the importance of education. And he wrote me today. He said, this moment inspired and motivated me to be what I am today. Cherish this article and take it to every job. I make a lot of kids read it to motivate them to be their best self. I never told you this, but I truly appreciate you for doing this. To some, it may have been small, but to me, it meant the world. Thank you. I always felt lucky. I remember that column. I don't remember every column, but I remember that column distinctly. And I felt lucky to be able to chronicle that moment. So there are, you know, the world's going to mayhem, but gosh, there's a lot of good stories out there. There's a lot of sweet stories and a lot of good stories about people doing good people, whether it's getting writing dissertations on how to improve asthma outcomes, or getting their diploma against when times get very difficult. So there you go. Hey, Jeffrey, let's play Believe It or Not.
Now it's time for Believe It.
Believe. I don't even know if I believe.
Now I'm a believer.
Or not. Believe it or not. On the Jeff Calkins Show.
In the Lane Kiffin, Paul Feinbaum face-off, decision goes to Lane Kiffin.
Believe it or not.
Yeah, I'll say this round went to Lane Kiffin. I also think it's a work.
That's what I was going to say. Like, in the end, it is, we're talking about SEC Media Days, which wrapped up yesterday.
Indeed.
I'd say uneventful, wouldn't you?
So the reason why I would argue uneventful, this clip that was going around,
yeah,
it's from Monday, and it was going around yesterday. Like, I was like, I was very, it took me a while.
Because
like,
you can't play Saban and you know, anymore. Like, you needed something.
Needed something.
And do you think these guys, like, need they need each other? You know, we haven't talked, by the way, about Skip going off the air. How about that?
Yeah, I mean, at a certain point, the
price.
Are
we just tired of it? Or, let's play the clip. Let's play this clip. If it works.
Oh. I don't know why this is so low.
I was watching it with them.
Here we go.
And you said, what a joke I was, and I'm the Miley Cyrus of college football coaching, and I should be fired. And they looked at each other, and later that night I was fired.
Yeah. By the way.
So, but hey, look what happened. I would have never gotten to work for Coach Saban. All these other things wouldn't happen, so I appreciate you for helping getting me fired. Thank you.
Look at what you're doing today. You're predicted to go to the playoffs. I mean, look at Miley Cyrus. She's had a nice comeback.
So you're wrong on that. I mean, you
this is pathetic.
Really? I don't really know.
And
do you believe that Paul Feinbaum got Lane Kiffin fired?
I don't think it helped. I mean, if you recall, like, on that game day, like, he absolutely eviscerated him. And I don't think it helped. Now, what got Lane Kiffin fired was, you know, they went preseason number one to, like, 7-6, and then the next year they were just meh.
Okay. Next one. You believe the flag at the Liberty Bowl should be preserved.
Believe it or not.
Yeah, I do. It's like 100 years old, right?
I was astonished by this. So we had, we were talking yesterday about the work that is being done at the Liberty Bowl, right? We had Jeff Crane in here. We were talking about that. And I honestly was surprised to hear, as we said yesterday, I didn't know demolition was going to start and they were going to be down to 32,000, whatever else. But I was also, I've always been intrigued by this flag at the Liberty Bowl. It's on top of the press box. And I knew they were knocking down the press box. And so what is going to happen to the flag?
Right.
So off the air, I asked Jeff Crane, what is going to happen to the flag? I also have to ask Jeff Crane if he knew the history. I also have Steve ask Steve Earhart if he knew the history. And neither one of them knew the history. I didn't also. I'm not blaming them. I didn't know the history either. They knew that it was old, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's been there. It's old. And it turns out, and so the answer is that they are right now building an elaborate frame around this old flag to try to be able to move it and preserve it safely so it doesn't fall apart because there's some fear that it's going to disintegrate.
Sure. It is very old, as you said.
And I did write about that over at the Daily Memphian, which you can read. I will say, I did hear from some Memphis Tiger fans who say, I hope they don't move that nasty old flag over to the new place. I'm not to the new place. Don't display it. You know, we don't need a nasty old flag in a brand new refurbished stadium. They didn't use nasty, but they're like, that's old. That's whatever else. We don't need this old flag. Didn't mean anything to me. There are lots of actually fairly devout Memphis Tiger fans who were saying, screw the flag, basically. Not the American flag as a symbol of freedom and all of that.
They want a new flag. They want a new good flag.
Or whatever. Yeah. They just don't want. I think that was the minority view. I was kind of surprised to hear that. And then when I delved into the history, I was really astonished. Like, this flag has 45 stars. And it has 45 stars not because people can't count flag constructors.
Because we had 45
stars. Because the flag is older than five states. Holy smokes. I think it's Oklahoma, Arizona, New Mexico, Hawaii, and Alaska. The flag was built for the to be atop the Memphis Publishing Company, the Commercial Appeal Building that used to be at 2nd and Court. That's where the flag originally flew in the early 1900s. Then the CA moved to 495 Union, to an old building that is no longer there, and they moved the flag. Then, I think in 1977... you can consult my story to see if this the exact date is correct.
You can consult me, but not by writing.
So then the CA moved to the shiny CA building that you'll, when you drive down Union, that then became a COVID hospital that was never used as a COVID hospital, that's now being used for storage. It's a storage company bought half of it, right? And which seems sort of shameful, honestly. But anyway, so they didn't want the flag on top of that shiny new building, or it didn't fit on top. So they gave it to the Memphis Parks Department with the condition that it be maintained, and also that it be that every single night it would be lit up. And so evidently, every single night, all this comes from Jimmy Ogle, who's a historian for the city. Unofficial, I think, historian for the city. Once upon a time, Duckmaster, has had lots of roles in Memphis, including working for the Parks Department. Anyway, he told me all this stuff. He also told me that he would get occasional complaints saying, hey, the flag isn't lit. And they'd find out that the fuse had blown or something else or whatever else. So the flag is, it has been on three different rooftops. It is more than 100 years old. As Jimmy Ogle said, it may be one of the few things in Memphis that is more than 100 years old and is still working, right? And it's kind of unbelievable. Our man Sam Hardiman, who's nice enough to join us on Wednesday, he told me he didn't believe the flag is that old. And I said, how do you explain the 45 stars then? If you're a flag skeptic, how do you explain that it only has 45 stars? It only has 45 stars because it's really old.
Mm-hmm.
And the technology would seem weird. Like, you would think lighting technology had advanced since the early 1900s. Jimmy Ogle said it takes regular old screw-in light bulbs.
Okay.
And so they are moving it. There is no decision made on where specifically they would move it. I actually asked Jeff Crane off the air, why not just put it on top of the new press box?
Right.
Right? If you're just moving the press box from the west side to the east side, there's going to be a press box on the east side. Why not put it atop that? And he just answered, he said, it's unclear what's feasible. So there you go. I'm not going to this is not a hill to die on for me to preserve that flag or whatever, but the idea that we would just toss it aside seems crazy to me. It's a 100 and whatever year old flag. That seems totally nuts to me that we would get rid of it. Okay. The Memphis Tiger basketball roster, Jeffrey, this roster that Penny has assembled is the fourth best roster that Penny has assembled during his years in Memphis.
Believe it or not.
And I say that because that's where John.
So are we
Martin,
saying the first roster is? Does that count? Because
first roster counts.
Okay.
The first roster counts. And he says the first roster is the worst roster. That's number seven. That had core players Jeremiah Martin, Akevon Davenport, freshman Tyler Harris, and Alex Lomax, senior guard Kareem Bruton Jr. Remember Mike Parks and Rainier Thornton?
Oh, yeah.
I think
we had Mike in studio.
I think we did, and he was really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was his first team. It did have freaking senior Jeremiah Martin, who was awesome. That's last.
Yeah, I think, though, unquestionably, that's the least talented roster.
You're saying that's last?
Yes.
No question.
I totally agree.
Okay, do we agree, by the way, at 100%, is it what is last and what is first? He says the best is 22-23,
yes,
which is Kendrick Davis, DeAndre Williams, and then Alex Lomax, Keontae Kennedy, Elijah McCadden, DeMario Franklin, Chandler Lawson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm agreeing.
It's a pretty thin roster.
Yeah, but you still had the conference player of the year, and like you had two of the best. You had probably two.
It's funny. Is it because it's the best roster, or just made the most sense? It was the most cohesive, and it also did the most.
Well, it also had a pecking order.
Of course, it didn't do the most because the other one won games. The other one won a tournament game.
Yeah, I'm very good saying that's the best roster.
Is that roster better than this roster?
I say yes.
DeAndre Williams. No, not this roster. This roster. This roster that I'm about to read to you. Okay, so that roster had DeAndre.
Mm-hmm.
The year before also had DeAndre. It also had Jalen Duren. It also had Landers Nolly. It also had Lester Quinones. It also had senior Tyler Harris. It also had freshman forward Josh Minot. And then it had Earl Timberlake, Lomax, et cetera. But in exchange, you're getting DeAndre either way. In exchange for Kendrick, you got Landers, Lester his last year, senior Tyler, and freshman forward Josh Minot. That's a lot of talent.
It's a lot of talent, but to me, it's like you still didn't. Like, that team never really had a point guard.
That team had Alo and Tyler as point guards.
And they both like to give the ball to the other team.
More talent on this team made less sense. Basically, you're just saying Kendrick. You're saying Kendrick made everything make sense.
Yeah.
And so that's why you're saying that's a better roster. Okay, are we agreeing that roster is better than this year's roster?
Very clearly. Yes.
Both of those are.
Yeah.
Both of those are very clearly better than this year's roster. Okay? All right. Then he goes, he says number three was last year's roster. David Jones, Javon Quinterly, Jaquan Walton, Jordain, Naquan Tomlin, Caleb Mills. Can you call it, when you know how dysfunctional the roster is, can you call it his third best roster?
I mean, if you were just making the case from a pure talent standpoint, I would understand the argument. When I say best roster, I do factor in fit, functionality.
But even there, it is weird for fit. They had a full-time point guard. They had shooting. They have one of the best scorers in the country. They were ranked in the top 10 in January. Like, mm-hmm. It's not like they were just preseason good.
Yeah.
And then maybe, is it not possible that was a great roster? It was just badly mishandled?
Yeah, I mean, you also had a complete lack of leadership. Penny has his flaws, in my opinion, in terms of like team building. But like I just never thought that team had any good leadership. You had a bunch of guys that put up numbers on bad teams, and then like Quinterly.
Do you think that roster is better than this roster? This roster. He has that roster better than this roster, but he has this roster next.
Like, if you were doing a scouting combine, that roster is better, like, if you're talking about that. But I think that this team has a much better chance to be a good team.
But maybe we only saying that because we know what happened to that team,
sure,
and we don't know what's happening with this team.
No, I mean, there's like, that is definitely within the realm of possibility. But I also think this team, I think when you look at the makeup of this team makes way more sense.
This team he has next at fourth, P.J. Haggerty, Tyrese Hunter, Colby Rogers, Dane Danger, Nicholas Jordain, Musa Cisse. has it next. Okay, let me ask you this then. Is that roster, this year's roster, he has it ranked better than the 2020-2021 roster, for example, which is redshirt junior Jandre Williams, who's still good, junior Landers Nolly, sophomore Lester Quinones, junior Alex Lomax, sophomore Boogie, sophomore DJ Jeffries, freshman center Musa. Isn't that roster better than this year's roster?
That roster has a lot of height, but not a lot of production.
Landers was productive. Lester was productive.
Yeah, but Landers, Boogie was productive. Landers was a problem.
Now we're imputing. I mean, and DeAndre was productive. Literally, DeAndre's productive. Landers productive. Lester's productive. Boogie's productive. And then you got, you know, Alo, who's Alo, and DJ Jeffries, who never lived up to the hype. But I don't know.
Didn't DJ?
I would rank that.
DJ hurt his knee that year, right?
That roster is better than this year's roster.
I mean, this year's roster.
I can't believe that team missed the NCAA tournament. That team is. That roster is better than this year's roster. It's got Landers, Lester, Boogie. Like, those are three. And DeAndre. DeAndre, Landers, Lester, and Boogie. Those are four solid to excellent college players.
Well, I mean, technically, that team didn't miss the NCAA tournament, Jeff. There was no tournament.
No, they ended up in the NIT. That's the NIT team. That's the team that ended up in the
2021.
NIT.
Sorry, yeah.
This is 2021. Yeah. This is the NIT. They ended up in the NIT team.
That team kind of got screwed. Metrically, they were a tournament team, but because of the schedule, you had to like rework the schedule. That worked against them.
They went on to. This is the one that won the NIT.
Yeah,
I'm not giving them a. That team is better than. I think this is the fifth best roster because that roster is better than this year's roster. That's a damn good roster. I can't believe it didn't make the tournament. Number six. It is interesting that highly ballyhooed James Wiseman one. He has as the only roster that it's better than is his Penny's first roster, and it had Precious Player of the Year. Conference Player of the Year. Then it had freshman Boogie, freshman Lester, freshman DJ, freshman Damian Baugh, and sophomores Tyler and Alo.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just the youth.
It's just young.
Yes.
It just was really young. Talented, more talented than this year's roster, but really young, I think, is the answer. All right. You were you're a big fan of Bob Newhart.
Believe it or not.
A big fan? I mean,
I'm not a big fan.
Yeah, I mean,
he's a funny man.
He's way ahead of my time.
He was too ahead of your time for anything? You didn't see any of it?
I mean, he was an elf.
He wasn't.
He's the dad
and
elf.
And then he makes appearances like in Big Bang Theory.
Yeah.
He actually won it. Is the only Emmy that I think he ever won, I think, was for being, for Big an appearance in Big Bang Theory. First, what was interesting to me? I love reading obits. So two guys died yesterday. Bob Newhart got whatever. And then some people know who Lou Dobbs is. Not everybody. Lou Dobbs is a guy who was a financial TV guy. But he became pretty big. Like he was he a CNBC?
I think he was
first?
Both. I think he was
whatever. And then he went to his own show. And then he kind of went off the reservation and became a wacko. But very successful financial journalist,
yes.
Lou Dobbs, and Bob Newhart. So it's interesting looking at their lives. Bob Newhart was an accountant. He was not a CPA, as he said, because that would require passing a test.
Correct.
And he never could. That he tried and failed. I think he just said, I knew I could never pass the test. So he was a board accountant. And he and his buddy would start doing these comic routines, which often involved pretend phone calls. You'd be talking on one side of the phone, right, call, and you'd be just making up. You wouldn't be talking to anyone and whatever. And this got submitted as a comedy album, which won a Grammy in early 1960s. And then he was off and running. So he was an unhappy accountant. Not really loving his life as an accountant. And he has this sort of dry humor that
in... Well, my favorite is his line that he always used to say when he was the accountant. Close enough.
Close enough, right. So, yeah, exactly. He, as an accountant, the story was is that he would make up at the end of the day. He'd either take money or
petty,
put in that money.
The petty cash.
Depending on using petty cash to try to make it all balance.
Right.
Right. And then Lou Dobbs, it turns out, he graduated from college. He goes to work at a bank. And he hates being a banker. He's a banker in California, I think. And he goes to work for a local radio station covering fire and police. And just likes it
a
lot
more.
What
a different time in radio.
Yeah, well, radio covered
fire and police.
It doesn't now. And it's just, to me, fascinating at... I do think you only get one of these lives. I mean, you did it and I did it. We both did it. We both left careers we didn't like.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean it's all going to work out. And it doesn't mean you're going to be as famous as Bob Newhart or as rich as Lou Dobbs. But I do think it's interesting that they both took big risks. Well, bigger risks, because Bob Newhart was continuing to work as an accountant as he did this.
Right.
Lou Dobbs wasn't. So fascinating. So how all of that plays out. Bob Newhart dies.
Well, you also wonder
94.
When Lou Dobbs was in banking, did he make enough money so that he could, quit a job
I don't think it was though. He was not a. I don't think he was.
He wasn't a finance bro in
Wall Street. I don't get the sense he was doing that. And then he ended up doing financial journalism, but that's not sort of how he started out. All right. We are going to take a break. When we come back, we will talk to Chris Harrington about the Bears of Summer. That's what he keeps calling them, the Bears of Summer. He wrote the piece. The Grizzlies, obviously, they win again yesterday. Scottie Pippen's tremendous. Gigi Jackson's very good. He gets a bunch of assists, which was nice to see. And now they're on to the semifinals, but no Zach Edey. We're done with Zach Edey very clearly for the summer. And so what do we think now that we are wrapping this up? Still no Luke Kennard, by the way. Still no Luke Kennard. We'll talk to him about that. We'll talk to him about Russell Westbrook going to Denver and other matters in the NBA. Before that, I will tell you, if you are looking for a tractor, Mid-South Ag Equipment is the place to go. First of all, good for you. Fun to shop for a tractor. Fun to drive a tractor. Tractors are fun. So if you've got a big yard, a big piece of land, go to Mid-South Ag and take a look at their Case IH tractor. They're smaller Case IH tractors. You don't have to be a farmer to get a Case IH tractor. If you're planting a big garden, or you're mowing a lot of land, or you're bush hogging for hunting, or whatever you're doing, check it out, the Case IH tractor. Forget grain, go Big Red with a smaller Case IH tractor from Mid-South Ag Equipment. In stock right now, 0% financing. It's on Highway 302 in Byhalia. Take a break. Back in a moment. Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Let's do this Chris Harrington deal.
Now, it's Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian on the Grizzlies, Memphis, and more. Presented by the Majestic Grill. Rediscover downtown dining. Chris Harrington on 92.9's Jeff Calkins Show.
Chris Harrington joins me now. Chris, what are we listening to?
That is a Sprained Ankle by Memphis State of Julian Baker from her debut album. Send that out to Zach Edey, who can't catch a break in summer league, for better or worse, because some breaks, a break would be worse.
What is the song Sprained Ankle about?
I don't remember. It's cryptic. Like, a lot of songs are sort of cryptic and personal, and more elusive than direct. And so I think it's sort of in that vein.
The opening line is, I wish I could write a song about something other than death.
It's funny. He just said cryptic, has to be interpreted, whatever. Not unlike communication sometimes about health status of athletes. So there you go.
I think there's a segment of the fan base that really overrates like the Grizzlies' health injury stuff. I think every fan base has a segment of their fan base that thinks that their organization is the worst in the world at injury communication. It's not that big of a deal. I mean, they said he has a sprained ankle, you know, but he's not ruled out for the summer league. And what do you know? They played him again, and then he had a totally separate injury to a totally separate ankle, and it's summer league. Both of these injuries are the kind of thing where I think if they were in the NBA playoffs, he'd be playing, but they're in summer league. It's not that big of a deal.
I had a rant along those lines exactly earlier. Like, I just that literally what they said was going to happened. They continued to say he's not shut down and he's going to play. And sure enough, he was not shut down. And then he stepped on a foot again. Like, whatever.
Right.
So there you go. It was unfortunate that we didn't see him more because it's fun to see him play. It's fun to see what you got. It is interesting in that just a little glimpse we had. You did see, again, like, he's good at dunking the basketball.
Right.
It's interesting. Missy's athleticism did give him some little challenges early. Like, you can tell that, too. Like, this will certainly be an ongoing adventure for us. I don't know that you're going to draw from his 6.3 rebound performance yesterday. Did you see anything particular?
No, I mean, there was just too little there. And so I think that first game he played was more interesting because we saw, like, 30-something minutes of it. And you could see some of the screening and some of the other stuff. There just wasn't much to see yesterday. I mean, he went 3 for 3. Probably he could have been, you know, 5 for 5, but there were a couple passes that were underthrown because people, like, didn't – I don't think people fully registered this dude 7-5 or whatever. And so there were a couple passes that were underthrown. But he got one, like, you know, post-ISO, and he cooked the dude like he tends to do and blocked a shot. And, like, you know, we're the very beginning stages of worrying about Zach Giddey as an NBA player.
Once again, Scottie Pippen, good. 17 points, 6 rebounds, 11 assists, 3 steals. He says he wants to be the best defensive player in summer league. We all have to have a dream, I guess. So, And Gigi didn't shoot particularly well, 4 of 14, but he had 6 assists. Your thoughts on the two stalwarts?
Yeah, I think Scottie Pippen has got to be, like, you know, a summer league MVP candidate at this point. The Grizzlies 4-0, and he's not been the best prospect on the team. Gigi's a better prospect, but I think if you watch these games, Scottie Pippen has been the best player. He's the guy who's been most instrumental in the Grizzlies' success in summer league. He's had a terrific summer league. He really is making a strong case for himself as an NBA level lead guard, you know, building on what he did in actual regular season NBA play last year. So it's not just some summer league thing. He's been great. He's been great without having a hot shooting stretch. He's sort of underperformed as a shooter, and he's still been great because of everything else. I think Gigi's been really encouraging sort of the, I don't really call it growth, but he had a really bad first game in Utah, like a terrible first game in Utah. And he's really, really settled down since then. And he's scoring pretty well. The percentages have sort of fluctuated, but he's hitting deep threes. He's showing ability to attack closeouts and get into the lane and score in the lane. And what I like best is he is consistently hitting the boards, which I think the Grizzlies need their wing players to rebound. And he's really hitting the boards hard in summer league. So I think it's been a really good summer league since that first bad game in Utah for Gigi Jackson.
Another 7 rebounds for Gigi yesterday. No Laravia. Laravia came in, played 8 minutes,
left.
Yeah, he played. I mean, going forward, I'm going to assume no Laravia. Going forward, I guess I would imagine, given that he played and then left again. Spent no Spencer. On Pippen, you have said that there is no urgency to elevate him off of the two-way that he's on. You can let that play out, and I think that's certainly true. I do wonder, at some point, does play become sufficiently compelling that you do it just out of respect for the, you know, I mean, there's no reason you have to, but I'm curious about that. But then the other question is, we all just assume that Derrick Rose is here just as a mentor. I'm not sure that Derrick Rose assumes he's just here as a mentor, and I am going to be interested in how they – will Derrick Rose get backup point guard minutes? You know, how do you imagine that will play out?
He's going to get some respect minutes. I just hope it's not like, you know, and I don't think it will be, but I would hope it's not a – he's our backup point guard, and you just play him as your backup point guard every night in the rotation until he gets hurt, you know. I mean, if you do that, it's not going to take that long. I mean, that's just been the recent history. And so I think it's pretty clear to me that, like, Pippen is better at, right now than Derrick Rose is, and I think that will be reflected in their playing time. The other thing is, if everyone's healthy, maybe neither of them are playing. You know, I mean, I think you have a 10-man rotation that doesn't include either one of them if everyone's healthy. And so, but I do think Pippen, I think if Pippen keeps building on what he's been doing, I think they will put him on the main roster before the end of the season, as they did with Gigi Jackson, as they did with Vince Williams Jr., as they did, frankly, with Kenneth Lofton the year before. They have a history of doing this when guys seem like they're ready for it. And I think Pippen seems very much in line for that at some point during the season.
Jalen Wells, any thoughts on him, having seen what we've seen so far in the summer league? Better game yesterday.
I think it's hard to get a read on him. His shooting has been really inconsistent in summer league. And he seems to me like he's struggled to finish, you know, against pressure, to finish at the rim in traffic. Like, I think the athleticism questions have been underscored in summer league. But he is a 6'7 guy who can shoot. And so if you're a 6'7 guy and you can shoot, like, there's a role for you if you can make shots. And so I think, you know, we'll find out over time with him.
Your 2,000-word summer wrap-up is still off there waiting. I'm presuming it's waiting for Luke Kennard at some point. Like, what are you – you're just going to wait?
I don't know. I'm wondering about that myself. But, like, how do you – I mean, I don't know what I'm supposed to do, right? Like, they haven't finished their –
they haven't finished their summer. No.
Right. So, yeah, I'm kind of waiting still.
Okay, here's my question. I completely agree that I think that if there's any criticism on either how they've handled Zach Edey or how they've communicated about Zach Edey, it's only because of boredom or weirdness on the part of the fan base or something. But I have no problems with that. I guess here would be a question, though. In this offseason, the Grizzlies had two fundamental questions. Weaknesses, it felt like. One was shooting, and one was they needed help at center. Shooting they didn't address really at all, right? And the center position they addressed with one rookie at number 9, who could very well be the answer, but it's one player, and we'll see. And, of course, he can sprain an ankle or two ankles. Did they do enough to answer to address their two questions, the two fundamental weaknesses that we saw from this team beyond a good health heading into next year?
Maybe. I mean, it depends on the health, right? They did add Cam Spencer and Jalen Wells. They did add shooting to the back of the roster. They're going to bring Luke Kennard back. And so at some level, like, improving the shooting means switching out player in your rotation. Like, you know,
right.
Could you replace Marcus Smart with a better shooter? Yeah, but probably be a worse basketball player. And so this is why I've never considered shooting outside the context of the rest of basketball, right. You know? I think it's, you know, is Gigi Jackson going to grow as a shooter? It's partly about sort of the players they have and how
well
they're
Is Jaren going to shoot 38, 39%? Yeah, that would be the biggest thing. Easy, yeah.
Is he going to be 31 or 37? You know, it's that kind of thing. I think the center thing, I think Edey is going to make a big, big difference. They don't have a lot of depth. That is true. And it doesn't seem to me, like, it's not certain to me. I mean, Precious Achiuwa's out there, hasn't signed anywhere. But there doesn't seem to be a lot of options in free agency to sign to be a fifth big that you're really, really worth signing. Like, he's about the only one I can think of. So it seems to me likely they're not going to have a fifth big on the main roster, and they're going to depend on, you know, going small with Gigi Jackson and Jake LaRavia, or, like, using their third two-way, which may or may not end up being Trey Jemison, for their front court depth. And I think that is fine if the top four guys have reasonably healthy seasons. And if they don't, I do think it will be a problem.
Well, that seems like a problem because, like, I don't want to just bet on good health.
Every team in the league has something like this if you start looking closely at their roster. If you stipulate, well, like, two or three of your, like, rotation guys are going to get injured, are you going to have depth problems? I think the answer is going to be yes for just about every team in the league. This is exacerbated by the amount of injury issues the Grizzlies had last season.
Right. Do you get the sense that they tried to do more, or they just said, this is our answer, and this is a perfectly good answer, and everybody has weaknesses, and that's it? I mean, in a sense, you'd like to wave a wand and turn Santi Aldama into a real five or something, right?
One of the issues here is, like, you know, you're keeping Derrick Rose on the main roster.
Right.
Using a roster spot that doesn't really help you in basketball terms. You believe it helps you in broader terms. And you're not alone in that approach, by the way. You know, Garrett Temple is still on the NBA roster for that reason. You know, the Charlotte Hornets just signed Taj Gibson to one of their 15 roster spots. He's not going to be playing, you know?
Miami Heat famously have done this. Yes, right? Yeah. So, all right.
So we'll see. It is not a perfect roster. If it is healthy, I think it will be a very good one, though.
Elsewhere in the league, Russell Westbrook appears that he is going to end up in Denver. What did you think of those that maneuvering?
I mean, I don't love it, but on the other hand, they need NBA players on their bench, you know, who have some level of experience. So we'll see. I mean, Nikola Jokic can make almost anybody functional on offense. So, good luck with that one. That'll be his challenge with, you know, a 36-year-old or whatever it is, Russell Westbrook.
All right. So that thus ends the basketball. I didn't tell you I was going to do this. Jennifer Chandler has recently written a piece at the Daily Memphian about ice cream. And it is summer, and we like ice cream. I'm pro ice cream. I think you are pro ice cream. So I'm going to go. I'm going to go through these places one by one. These are all places that make their own ice cream in Memphis, and I want to know if you've been there and what you thought. The first one is Zio Matto Gelato.
Yeah, and I've written about them before a couple times in the past. So they have the gelato cart at FedEx Forum.
Yeah, you love Christmas that place, games. Right? You love that place.
Big fan of the Tiramisu Gelato, and I've been to their little shop in the Central Station, and it's quite good. I recommend stopping in there, definitely. Okay.
I actually think most of these places you've written about, so that's partly why I have familiar enough that I can run them by you. I don't know that you've ever written about this place. I had never heard of this place, so if you did, I missed it. Margie's 901 Homemade Ice Cream. Do you know that
place?
Yeah,
that's the place down on Main, and the name has changed. I've been there about like 10 years ago, so I couldn't really tell you much about it right now.
It says started as a Maggie Moo's. Okay. All right, the next one, I know you've written about this one or whatever, I think. Sweet Magnolia Gelato Company.
Yeah, I've never written about them, but they, and I can't remember, I think, are they back in Crosstown? Something, it's confusing to me because they bounced around a little bit.
Yeah, they're back.
They're back in Crosstown. Yeah, exactly right. Weren't they in that mall, that Puck Food Hall at one point?
Yeah, they were. So that's a North Mississippi thing. I've had their stuff and it's good, but I'm not particularly familiar with it.
Okay. I know this one is one you like. Sugar Ghost Ice Cream and Bubble Tea.
So, yeah, now I wrote about that place when it first opened on Broad. It's very good. My daughter and I actually went. They have a second location now in Germantown, and we actually went a couple weeks ago when we were in Memphis to that. And we got their red velvet ice cream, which was a summer special, which was very good. And I got a taste of their watermelon cilantro sorbet, which is another summer special, was also very good. Highly recommend that place. They also do their own homemade soft serve. You can get a chocolate dip cone with the soft serve there.
What do you think of bubble tea, by the way? I'm not a huge fan. It's a little weird.
I don't care about the bubbles. I like Thai tea or whatever, but I don't really care about the
bubbles.
You
don't need those sucking up those big-ass bubbles in there. Okay, here's a place that I've never been to, but it's sort of preceded all of them, I think. Sweet Noshings in Overton Square.
Yeah, no, that's the place I've stopped in sometimes. You know, they have candy there. You can get, bottled sodas. You can get coffee. But, yeah, we've got ice cream there occasionally. I didn't know that they made their own ice cream, honestly.
This place I have never been to. Kay's Pints and Scoops. It's on Winchester Road.
Yeah, I got nothing for you on that.
La Michoacana.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think people associate that more with the paletas, the popsicles. But they have ice cream, too. I like the one thing you can get there I haven't seen anywhere else that they do was a sweet corn ice cream.
Yeah.
I'm kind of a fan of that. Definitely it's some really different good flavors there.
They also, their pine nut is really very good, too. And they have a bunch of La Michoacanas around now, I think. I think there's a whole bunch of them. Okay. This one I don't know either. Dipstickle Artisan Gelato Cafe.
Yeah, that's on Germantown Parkway, unless it's moved in one of the strip malls there. That's good. It's not really my thing, but it's like ice cream, like fudge poppy kind of things, and you can dip them in different coatings. Like you can get a fudge pop gelato, but a fudge pop with graham cracker crumble or cookies or Oreo crumble or that kind of thing. It's good. I'm more into you know, regular popsicles or regular ice cream, not sort of the confluence of the two.
Do you do a, if you were at an ice cream place and they ask you cone or cup, which do you do?
I typically go cone. I like cone. I like the little crunch at the bottom.
I like cone, too. I like a basic waffle cone, honestly. I think, I mean, your basic cake cone. Your fancy waffle cones are too much infrastructure for me. I like a cake cone. Levy Creamery in Collierville.
Yeah, they had a second. I've been there. It's okay. I've only been there like once or twice. I don't know a lot about it, but I have been there. I can't give you much detail on that one.
And then the last two are Area 51, which I think you've done in Hernando, and Velvet Cream.
So Area 51 was in Crosstown. I think it left and Sweet Magnolia moved in. And it was good, but I found myself going to like Mem Pops more than there when I was at Crosstown and wanted the sweet treat. Velvet Cream, is that the dip in Hernando? Is that what that is?
Yep.
Yeah, now that place is super cool. That's a real throwback. You know, it's right there across from the town square in Hernando, and you can get ice cream and milkshakes and stuff. That's a cool place to drop into if you've never been there.
All right, Chris, I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
All right, thanks.
Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian. You an ice cream fan? Do you like ice cream?
Of course.
Where do you?
You know what though? I'm kind of lame. I'm just a good old fashioned. There's nothing wrong with Baskin Robbins peanut butter and chocolate.
Baskin Robbins peanut butter and chocolate. Honestly,
I think of the places that y'all talked about. The only one I've been to was the first one.
Which was that one?
The one that's they had the cart at FedEx Forum, and then they've got the spot right there at Central Station.
Yeah, I can't say I've been to a lot of them either. I don't go out for ice cream. I'll buy ice cream. Here's the truth. You know, like a nice box of store brand ice cream. What's the private selection? Private selection, Kroger's. It's not a bad ice cream.
No.
Ice cream is freaking delicious.
You got to work really hard to make bad ice cream.
I think you have to work really hard to make bad ice cream. Anyway, that story is in the Daily Memphian ranking. It doesn't rank. It should rank. Let's be honest. But it should rank.
It discusses 10 places.
It writes about every place that I think she's identified that make their own ice cream in town. All right, we got to take a break. If you are fed up with your bank, want a new financial institution, or if you're looking for a home loan, or if you're looking for a car loan, I would suggest Leaders Credit Union. I would suggest that, and let's be honest, we put our money where our mouth is. Claire just went and opened up an account there. She went into the Bartlett location, was absolutely delighted by her experience. The truth of the matter is, though, you can do it online. They have tremendous online technology. They also are opening a new branch in Arlington. They've broken ground on that. But it's what I've said before. They can't make money. That's not what they're in business to do. They literally exist as a not-for-profit. They exist only for the benefit of their members. So every dollar that is generated goes back as better rates, or goes back as better technology, or goes back as better service, or that's why they are so good at what they do. It's why they can, for example, have the 5% checking account special. 5% on your checking account, no monthly fee, no minimum balance, easy access to your money through their mobile app. It is Leaders Credit Union. Go to leaderscu.com/ESPN, leaderscu.com/ESPN for full details. Back in a moment, Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. Back on the Jeff Calkins Show on a Friday. Hope your day is, we got a tweet from someone who's stranded in the Pittsburgh airport, Jeffrey, and we are helping them pass the time by listening to our radio program.
Have you seen, there's a tweet going around from, I believe it's Colin McCarthy, and it's a 12-hour time lapse of all the planes, like over the country. It's
what is the latest? Are things coming back on, are things coming back online? Let me just see if you see any. I mean, it's been a total disaster. Again, it has reached everything from my little local yoga studio to McDonald's in Japan to airports all across the world.
The television
networks in various countries. Yeah.
The joke that I've been seeing, though, that's everyone's amazed that all the airlines are shut down, but Southwest is not. Yeah, everyone's like, it's because they're still running Windows XP.
And the problem is that cybersecurity, that's what it was, CrowdStrike, right? Cybersecurity, they're constantly updated because they have to stay one step ahead of the hackers. Secondly, they have access to your entire system because they have to.
Correct.
Right? It's not just like they're guarding your entire system. So they're intimately involved in everything in your system. And the cure has been you have to reboot every computer individually. And so if you're an airline with 10,000 computers, this is taking a while.
Oh, yeah.
Seems to be the reason that is taking a while. Let's just see. A spokesperson for United Parcel Service says the company's computer systems have been affected by the outrage and customers might experience service delays. FedEx is working diligently to reduce service disruptions. You can't think of something that hasn't been touched by this. 75 flights recently canceled at the San Francisco International Airport. They were due to have a groundbreaking event modernizing that airport. That has been canceled. Let's just see. The news is if there's no impact. Like that, it's like it's news if there's no impact. So, for example, New York City Transit, they put out the news there's no impact. It's kind of more remarkable if something hasn't been touched than if it has been touched. And this is just by a blunder. This is not China wreaking havoc on the U.S.
Right, this isn't an attack.
If they wanted to, it's absolutely just brutal. Speaking of, by the way, there was a story in the Daily Memphian today about the Memphis airport, Concourse A. Mm-hmm. Did you hear about this?
No, I haven't read yet.
So Concourse B is the one that's glorious and new and shiny and
yep.
lovely, right? Do we all agree Concourse B is lovely?
Yes, absolutely.
So Concourse A has been mothballed since 2022, and they are knocking it down. And what they are doing is with it, which actually makes all the sense of the world, in the world. Well, first they're using the place where it was to stage construction of the terminal modernization project. So they're going to be, the next thing they're going to be, knockdown A, and then they redo the terminal, right?
I thought they're redoing like baggage claim and all that.
Then what they're going to, yes, exactly right. They're going to be a third roadway on the baggage level to accommodate public transportation, including Lyft and Uber. So there's not just going to be three. It's not just going to be departure, whatever. When you drive up, there's going to be three different levels that you come to, not just two. That's going to happen. But then eventually where Concourse A was is going to be used for the rental car facilities.
So they're moving the rental cars out of the economy lot.
Out of the parking garage, which will create more parking spaces because it's a
levels.
Disaster right now. Right, because on busy weekends, there are no places to park.
Oh, that last trip that I took a couple weeks ago, I got like a level 5 spot and I felt like a king.
Yeah, I always go to the very top. I go to the very top. And that way I always know my car is. It's on the very top. So, but anyway, that's your important breaking airport news. Do we have any golf updates, Jeffrey? World is as it was, basically. Nothing really.
Jeff,
Tiger missed the cut.
Tiger's going to miss the cut. Looks like Rory's going to miss the cut. Rory just made a sick 8 on it. He made a snowman. Shane Lowry still leads the way. He fired a 2 under 69. He leads by 2 over Dan Brown, leads by 4 over Justin Rose. Billy Horschel.
Did you like the Da Vinci Code?
The movie or the book? The movie was... The movie is like hilarious.
The book, that's all preposterous. Vinci Code is preposterous.
But like they're like 4-page chapters.
It was the one that everyone was reading.
You felt like you were a speed reader. I think it's sold over like 80 million books. I liked the book. The movie is god awful. The movie was on TV the other day, and I watched it. And I've forgotten like just how bad it is.
Speaking of golf, I was out at the media day. At the Federal Express St. Jude Golf Tournament, the FedEx St. Jude Golf Tournament, they had media day yesterday. And so this time, they give you a tour of what they're doing with the course.
What's new?
And what's new, really, the biggest thing that's new...
14.
You knew that. Did you know that already?
Yeah, Mark had told me this before he left.
Yeah.
That this was
They're trying to make 14...
kind of like a party spot.
Into a party spot.
Yeah.
And so they have cups that say, instead of hush y'all, there's a line... I've tweeted a picture. There's a line through the cup, and it says, get loud, instead of hush y'all. And there's new seating areas out there. Sort of a stadium area around 14. People going in the water. Like, this is going to be... I kind of like it. I like it. And by the way... it's right near Andrew Michaels, Birdies and Bubbles place, which has
sandwich.
That freaking chicken sandwich, which is to die for. And so
there's also a Pronto Pop behind the tee shot.
Really good. It's really good. And it was a little like this media day was a little. It was very salesy. You know, they took you to a merchandise tent. But I say they did a good job getting it across because the merchandise is cool. They got a lot of, they got some Lululemon stuff, and they got some T-shirt maker guy who's making some whatever, The merchandise is cool. What they're doing with 14, I think, is cool. It'll be interesting to see it now that it's later in the year, and obviously it's already diminished by LIV. Like, it will be interesting to see how this all plays out a little bit. But the work they do there is remarkable. And, you know, once again, there's volunteers out there yesterday. The fact that this tournament has been sustained by people who are devoted to Memphis, by FedEx, which is devoted to Memphis, and by all these volunteers. I was talking to this one woman who works with basically in the clubhouse, taking care of the pros. Sort of amazing. She said she has five widows who work on her team of 11, right? Because here's what's happened, is that the volunteers who started doing this in the 60s and 70s and whatever else, when it was the one thing in town.
Yeah, it was the event.
Right. They've gotten older, right? So if you have it in your heart to volunteer and you happen to be, you know, in your 20s or 30s or 40s, that would be great. They need a new wave, like much of Memphis needs a new wave of people engaging, just like Memphis Tigers need a new wave of fans and boosters and everything else. They need a new wave of volunteers out there. They do a magnificent job, and I'm always, like, people take vacations to help the golf tournament, to help St. Jude. So it was a great scene out there yesterday, and I think their plans for 14 sound terrific. Before I get to an NFL subject that I wanted to discuss, a couple other things real quick, Jeffrey. One is, I saw that you see they announced the new bridge.
Yes.
That they're replacing the bridge. That's good, right?
Are we getting a new bridge?
No. That's the problem. What's going to be the new bridge? It's not... The new bridge is still there. The old bridge is being replaced by a new bridge, which will then be the new bridge. And so which will be the new bridge?
Maybe the renovated bridge? Is that what
we're going to... I don't know what we're going to call it. This is the problem.
Well, I told Kevin, like, the funny thing is, like, I always knew the new bridge and was the Hernandez de Soto Bridge. But, like, I had no idea what the old bridge was actually called.
What is it called?
I think it's the Arkansas...
Which bridge do you go over more often? Do you go on Wait. The new bridge is the one that comes in past
40. Basically, the new bridge
is the one that comes in past Bass Pro, right?
Correct.
The pyramid.
Correct.
That's the new bridge.
That's the Hernandez Soto. Yes.
I cross on the other bridge.
So
almost always.
I used to always be an old bridge guy, but I don't know why. The last few times I've done
now, you've done the new bridge.
Yeah.
Anyway,
my dad was always an old bridge guy, so that's kind of.
I'll tell you the story that most depressed me though from this whole week, and I don't mean to add to our. The story that depressed me most. From what has honestly been kind of a depressing week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have no idea.
And Jeffrey put down his dog, for God's sakes. The story about True Green. Did you read this story?
Moving to Nashville, correct? The headquarters?
Yeah, there's 120 executives or something that they are moving out of Memphis to Nashville. And all these people make significant amounts of money. And they just said, you know what? We'd rather be in Nashville. And as someone who came here in 96 and as who's seen ups and downs of this city, I remember when I used to have GP on the, when GP and I used to do the show together, we started talking about this crime stuff. And there were some who pushed back and said there wasn't a real crime crisis. There was just a perception of a crime crisis, And Gary and I were like, you can say that all you want, but the perception is there becomes the reality. Like, I don't even need to forget, we can debate reality, not reality. The perception is reality. And whether it comes, like, you talk about the future of the Grizzlies in town. They're still negotiating their new lease, and hopefully, you know, they'll get it done soon. In the end, what matters, if Memphis is healthy and robust and growing and vibrant, I don't have much fear that the Grizzlies will ever leave. Just as the Grizzlies as an example. But if Memphis is shriveling up and dying and people are abandoning it and fleeing, then it's going to be hard to sustain all kinds of things.
For sure.
And whether it's the golf tournament and not just the world of sports, whether it's the golf tournament or the symphony or the Grizzlies or any of the restaurants that you see closing. And the problem is that it's not easy to figure out what, you know, everyone's like, we got to fix this. How do you turn around or build momentum again for a city? There are cities that have done it. Like, once upon a time, New York City was, that's a hellhole. Crime was out of control. It was bankrupt. It was like, and now New York City is thriving. Detroit is the most recent example of a city that, again, it is massive areas that are abandoned and poverty and whatever else. But Detroit is one that has managed to turn its image around. Detroit has real momentum. So how, and I don't know, if I knew the answer to this, I would of course just tell you, how do we turn around and create a different trajectory for Memphis? It's why when Elon Musk was bringing his computers to Memphis, and listen, I don't agree with Elon Musk on a lot. I find him to be reprehensible in a lot of ways. And some of his opinions to be vile. But if he wants to bring money and prosperity and help Memphis, I support that. That's why I wrote a column about supporting that, because it feels like all we need every bit of good news that we can have. And it just feels like we're being buffeted with bad news. And to see that these, like, they didn't say why True Green was moving. You know, oh, we're consolidating services and blah, blah, whatever else. Yeah, and blah, 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 blah. But you know what? They didn't consolidate them by moving the people from Nashville to Memphis.
No, they're doing what they want to do. I mean, like you said, it is a complex, big issue. But like, when I think about the examples, I mean, usually what it takes is money.
Like, yeah, but the problem
Dan Gilbert put like $1 billion into Detroit.
No,
like,
that's 100% right.
Like, does it solve everything? No, but like it does.
But then you're wishing for Dan Gilbert to emerge as in Memphis. Is that what we're doing? I mean, in the end, there is no Dan Gilbert here. Like, but there's, I mean, Fred Smith just put a lot of money in the Liberty Bowl and like whatever else, and that's great and whatever. There's not enough rich people in Memphis, but the rich people of Memphis are incredibly like invested, like. You look what the Hyde Foundation does, uh-huh. For example. Like, they could, like, Pitt and Barbara Hyde could just say, you know, I'll go live in wherever. I'll go live in Colorado and the heck with this, right?
Sure.
But they don't. They're deeply invested in education, in the arts, and we've seen how incredibly invested the Smith family is in all of this. You know, the Cates family is in all of this. Mason Hawk, like the wealthy people of Memphis, happily are incredibly invested. I found that to be, that was to me, I don't like, you don't want people yanking out the, you know, and pulling and the truth of the matter is my life, I like living in Memphis. My life is great. I really like living in Memphis, but then your damn brother had his car stolen this week.
Yeah,
second out of his driveway.
Yes, it locked everything. Like, was it like, oh, you know, oh, he like left it running, just stolen out of his driveway. Hopefully, my wife's not listening.
She didn't know.
No.
Oh, never mind.
You're kidding.
All is well
Kidding. Totally.
Well, it's funny. Like Nathaniel Clare's son, who lives with us now and works at Catherine and Mary's, he. Well, he had a guy who just ran into him, uninsured guy who ran off. He was in a hit and run recently.
Yeah. Come on.
And then
free space.
And then so then he takes now he's borrowing the car's totaled, so now he's borrowing our cars. And so he borrows my minivan or Claire's minivan. And my minivan is an anti-theft device because it is so crappy that no one wants to steal it, right? But we have different approaches. I tell Nathaniel, or Nathaniel doesn't lock my car when he takes it downtown. He does lock hers because she locks hers. Like, you try to figure your way through this different ways. I say, don't lock it. Just let people, you know, whatever. If they're going to get in, I don't want them to break the window. And so what's interesting is that, so he drives my car downtown, and sure enough, one night he's there and someone has gone through my minivan.
I've always wondered this.
Just
because we do.
It's demoralizing.
It seems to me, and I'm not trying to be like Pollyanna here, but it seems to me there is a majority of people that want what's best for Memphis. The problem is there's a percentage of people that just don't care. It seems to me...
There's a lot of people, too, who glory in crapping on the place. Glory in amplifying every single crime or every single misdeed or every single whatever. There's people... And then, of course, there's entities that profit from it, too.
Right, but media entities. I'm not even talking... I'm looking at it just, like, from a psychological perspective. What is the percentage of bad actors that ruin it for everybody? Because to me, like, it seems to be... The way to attack the problem is to try to shrink the amount of bad actors out there, but I don't know how you would do that.
I didn't mind to get off on this topic. I had NFL stuff I wanted to talk about, but here we find ourselves. The NFL story, Jeffrey, that we're going to have to. We have odds on the
first fired coach.
First fired coach. I won't. We got to take a break here in just a minute. Who do you think it is?
It's got to be McCarthy, right?
No. At least according to this bet online, it's not Mike McCarthy. He's the second favorite.
Saleh?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't have the Saleh gene. I feel like I beat everybody to the punch there.
You have been down on him for a long time.
He's a big old dum-dum.
McCarthy's second. Then you've got Dennis Allen and Matt Eberflus. And then on and on. We got to take a break. Back in a moment. Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. I want to end with a good story. It's a story I told in the Daily Memphian earlier this week, and it involves the Memphis Rogues. You don't remember the Memphis Rogues, Jeffrey, do you? I don't either. They preceded my time.
Which team was this?
What?
Which team was this?
They were the NASL team. Anyway, there was a young lad named Jeffrey Gaia. He was 14 years old. It was the last game they were playing here, okay? And he loved this player named Jado Hasanbegovic. And he loved him, the Jado, because it's funny to say. It's a nice name.
That's an elite name.
He wasn't the biggest star. He just loved him. Plus, he had a nephew. Even though he was 14 years old, he had older siblings, Catholic family, whatever. He had a nephew named Jade, and so it made sense. Like, Jado, right? Jado Hasanbegovic, right, was his favorite player. Last game, team's moving out of town. They run on the field at the Liberty Bowl. He's running around. Who should emerge out of the crowd? Out of the crowd of players, but right there, Jado, right there. So he runs up to him. He's not a big guy who collects jerseys. He runs up to him and says, can I have your jersey? And Jado says, sure. In that moment, he could have laughed, whatever. He takes off his jersey, okay? Gives it to the kid.
Is this the original jersey swap?
Jeffrey Gaia loves this. He's loves the jersey. You know, when you're a teenager, you need things that, you know, I had a pair of Puma sneakers that I loved. You know, they help you get through your difficult
times.
For sure. He kept the jersey, grew up, becomes a lawyer in town, whatever else. He kept the jersey. One day he's on a website where you put game-worn jerseys, pictures of game-worn jerseys. He puts that jersey on the website, a photo of the jersey. A response comes, hey, that's my gear. Jado has discovered the same website. And all these years later, he's in Bosnia now. So Jeffrey says, you know what, I'm going to give you your jersey someday when whatever. He's plans to give it.
Swap it back.
Jado dies.
Aww.
Jado dies. Age 75. He had gallbladder surgery. He dies. His son, Ned, is looking for things about his dad and discovers this jersey. He writes Jeffrey Gaia, says, would you sell that to me? And Jeffrey Gaia says, sell it. I'm not going to sell it to you. I'm going to give it to you. Next time I'm going to arrange. He lives in Chicago. So sure enough, he recently traveled to Chicago. He gave him the jersey. Ned discovered, in doing some research, that that was the last game that his father ever played professionally. So he has a game-worn jersey. And here's the thing, from the last game his father ever played. Here's the thing. When Jado was running off that field, he could have kept the jersey. He could have smiled at the kid. Whatever, just whatever. Instead, he gave it. And the truth is, had he kept that jersey, it would have been lost to the mist of time. Only by giving it away, it helped that 14-year-old. And now it comes back, and his son Ned has it. His son with a 3-year-old son, they have it forever and ever and ever. Kindness, ladies and gentlemen. Kindness is the way to always go. Because it ripples in ways that we don't necessarily expect. That is my lesson for the week. Jeffrey, what is coming up next?
Here's what's coming up next.
Here's what's coming up next on Jason and John. Anthony Sane and Calvin Alston will join John today. Blake Topmeyer joins us on Jeffrey Wright and Company. Cobb will join Gabe at 5 o'clock.
You can read you can see a picture of that jersey and read that column over at the Daily Memphian. Have a great weekend, everybody. Back on Monday for now. Work is done.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.